When we ascend the throne of the world, all these financial and similar shifts, as being not in accord with our interests, will be swept away so as not to leave a trace, as also will be destroyed all money markets, since we shall not allow the prestige of our power to be shaken by fluctuations of prices set upon our values, which we shall announce by law at the price which represents their full worth without any possibility of lowering or raising. Raising gives the pretext for lowering, which indeed was where we made a beginning in relation to the values of the goyim. We shall replace the money markets by grandiose government credit institutions, the object of which will be to fix the price of industrial values in accordance with government views. These institutions will be in a position to fling upon the market 500 millions of industrial paper in one day, or to put up for the same amount. In this way, all industrial undertakings will come into dependence upon us. You may imagine for yourselves what immense power we shall thereby secure for ourselves. H. If you readers aren't, by now, weeping, you don't get the point. There is a cute saying that goes something like, if you aren't about to panic, then you don't understand your circumstances. This particular presentation of the status of the protocols in accomplishment was made many years before this day and actually laid forth centuries prior to now. Isn't it time you people paid attention to what has taken place and check as to what kind of a steel cage in which you are kept? So be it. Protocol number 22, in all that has so far been reported by me to you, I have endeavored to depict with care the secret of what is coming, of what is past, and of what is going on now, rushing into the flood of the great events coming already in the near future, the secret of our relations to the goyim and of financial operations. On this subject there remains still a little of me to add. In our hands is the greatest power of our day, gold. In 2 days we can procure from our storehouses any quantity we may please. Surely there is no need to seek further proof that our role is predestined by God. Surely we shall not fail with such wealth to prove that all that evil which for so many centuries we have had to commit had served at the end of ends the case of true well-being, the bringing of everything into order? Though it be even by the exercise of some violence, yet all the same it will be established. We shall contrive to prove that we are benefactors who have restored to the rent and mangled earth the true good and also freedom of the person, and therewith, 57. We shall enable it to be enjoyed in peace and quiet, with proper dignity of relations, on the condition, of course, of strict observance of the laws established by us. We shall make plain therewith that freedom does not consist in dissipation and in the right of unbridled license any more than the dignity and force of a man do not consist in the right for everyone to promulgate destructive principles in the nature of freedom of conscience, equality and the like. That freedom of the person in no wise consists in the right to agitate oneself and others by abominable speeches before disorderly mobs, and that true freedom consists in the inviolability of the person who honorably and strictly observes all the laws of life in common, that human dignity is wrapped up in consciousness of the rights and also of the absence of rights of each, and not wholly and solely in fantastic imagining about the subject of one's ego. Our authority will be glorious because it will be all-powerful, will rule and guide, and not muddle along after leaders and orators shrieking themselves hoarse with senseless words which they call great principles and which are nothing else, to speak honestly, but utopian. Our authority will be the crown of order, and in that is included the whole happiness of man. The aureole of this authority will inspire a mystical bowing of the knee before it and a reverent fear before it of all the peoples. True force makes no terms with any right, not even with that of God. None dare come near to it so as to take so much as a span from it away. Condition, of course, of strict observance of the laws established by us. We shall make plain therewith that freedom does not consist in dissipation and in the right of unbridled license any more than the dignity and force of a man do not consist in the right for everyone to promulgate destructive principles in the nature of freedom of conscience, equality and the like, that freedom of the person in no wise consists in the right to agitate oneself and others by abominable speeches before disorderly mobs, and that true freedom consists in the inviolability of the person who honorably and strictly observes all the laws of life in common, that human dignity is wrapped up in consciousness of the rights and also of the absence of rights of each, and not wholly and solely in fantastic imagining about the subject of one's ego. Our authority will be glorious because it will be all-powerful, will rule and guide, and not muddle along after leaders and orators shrieking themselves hoarse with senseless words which they call great principles and which are nothing else, to speak honestly, but utopian. Our authority will be the crown of order, and in that is included the whole happiness of man. The aureole of this authority will inspire a mystical bowing of the knee before it and a reverent fear before it of all the peoples. True force makes no terms with any right, not even with that of God, none dare come near to it so as to take so much as a span from it away. Protocol number 23, that the peoples become accustomed to obedience. It is necessary to inculcate lessons of humility and therefore to reduce the production of article of luxury. By this we shall improve morals which have been debased by emulation in the sphere of luxury. We shall re-establish small master production which will mean laying a mine under the private capital of manufacturers. This is indispensable also for the reason that manufacturers on the grand scale often move, though not always consciously, the thoughts of the masses in directions against the government. A people of small masters knows nothing of unemployment, and this binds him closely with existing order, and consequently with the firmness of authority. Unemployment is a most perilous thing for a government. For us its part will have been played out the moment authority is transferred into our hands. Drunkenness also will be prohibited by law and punishable as a crime against the humanness of man who is turned into a brute under the influence of alcohol. Subjects, I repeat once more, give blind obedience only to the strong hand which is absolutely independent of them, for in it they feel the sword of defense and support against social scourges. What do they want with an angelic spirit in a king? What they have to see in him is the personification of force and power. The supreme lord who will replace all now existing rulers, dragging on their existence among societies, though he should drench them with his own blood, that he may resurrect them again in the form of regularly organized troops fighting consciously with every kind of infection that may cover the body of the state with sores. This chosen one of God is chose from above to demolish the senseless forces moved by instinct and not reason, by brutishness and not humanness. These forces now triumph in manifestations of robbery and every kind of violence under the mask of principles of freedom and rights. They have overthrown all forms of social order to erect on the ruins the throne of the King of the Jews, but their part will be played out the moment he enters into his kingdom. Then it will be necessary to sweep them away from his path, on which must be left no knot, no splinter. Then will it be possible for us to say to the peoples of the world, give thanks to God and bow the knee before him who bears on this front the seal of the predestination of man, 2:58, which God himself has led his star that none other but he might free us from all the before mentioned forces and evils. Protocol number 24, H, read this last protocol with mind and eyes open, readers, for ere you see and find God creator of light, you are a remarkable individual. The prince of darkness, calling himself the bright and morning star, has had you, friends. You serve the mortal impostor who rules through the mortal and physical bondage of spirit. The battle is truly for the souls of man, not who will play in the next dimension of spiritual expression. You who serve that master deceiver adum to experience within the hell of experience as deemed appropriate for you by the rulers of the domain of physical, mortal expression. Bondage of soul, spirit, is the ultimate bondage, students. The clues are all there as to just who and what is placing you in bondage, and yet only the few are remaining that have opportunity to decipher the puzzle and mystery of the hidden manipulators. The global society has been dumbed down into ignorance and unknowing to keep you silent and docile while you have been raped, ravaged and pillaged and have lost your way. God provides, you decide. I remind you that the Bibles have been scribed by man, for the writing itself is a physical mortal expression. I pass now to the method of confirming the dynastic roots of King David to the last strata of the earth. This confirmation will first and foremost be included in that in which to this day has rested the force of conservatism by our learned elders of the conduct of all the affairs of the world, in the directing of the education of thought of all humanity. Certain members of the seed of David will prepare the kings and their heirs, selecting not by right of heritage but by eminent capacities, inducting them into the most secret mysteries of the political, into schemes of government, but providing always that none may come to knowledge of the secrets. The object of this mode of action is that all may know that government cannot be entrusted to those who have not been inducted into the secret places of it. To these persons only will be taught the practical application of the aforenamed plans by comparison of the experiences of many centuries, all the observations on the politico-economic moves and social sciences, in a word, all the spirit of laws which have been unshakably established by nature herself for the regulation of the relations of humanity. Direct heirs will often be set aside from ascending the throne if in their time of training they exhibit frivolity, softness and other qualities that are the ruin of authority, which render them incapable of governing and in themselves dangerous for kingly office. Only those who are unconditionally capable for firm, even if it be to cruelty, direct rule will receive the reins of rule from our learned elders. In case of falling sick with weakness of will or other form of incapacity, kings must by law hand over the reins to new and capable hands. The king's plans of action for the current moment, and all the more so for the future, will be unknown, even to those who are called his closest counselors. Only the king and the three who stood sponsor for him will know what is coming. 59. In the person of the king who with unbending will is master of himself and of humanity, all will discern as it were fate with its mysterious ways. None will know what the king wishes to attain by his dispositions, and therefore none will dare to stand across an unknown path. It is understood that the brain reservoir of the king must correspond in capacity to the plan of government it has to contain. It is for this reason that he will ascend the throne not otherwise than after examination of his mind by the aforesaid learned elders. That the people may know and love their king, it is indispensable for him to converse in the marketplaces with his people. This ensures the necessary clinching of the two forces which are now divided one from another by us by the terror. This terror was indispensable for us till the time comes for both these forces separately to fall under our influence. The king of the Jews must not be at the mercy of his passions, and especially of sensuality. On no side of his character must he give brute instincts power over his mind. Sensuality worse than all else disorganizes the capacities of the mind and clearness of views, distracting the thoughts to the worst and most brutal side of human activity. The prop of humanity, in the person of the Supreme Lord of all the world of the Holy Seed of David, must sacrifice to his people all personal inclinations. Our Supreme Lord must be of an exemplary irreproachability. The Rothschild Bank is said to have asked the Bavarian Jew Adam Weishaupt to establish the secret order of the Bavarian Illuminati after this plan for world power, Novus Ordo Seclorum equals New World Order, has been worked out. Author's comment: a further means towards this goal is the separation of the world into a slave society in the East and a race of lords in the West. As Rudolf Steiner wrote in his book The Social Prerequisites of Our Time, this is helped by the fact that the West cannot come to a synthesis. The atheist scientists don't care for the religions of the East, the faithful of the East reject the science of the West. Chapter 6: Jewish Antisemitism. Well, how do you feel, after reading this? Can you believe what you just read? Can you see things happen in modern times, as described in these 24 protocols? I can hear some readers saying, this is not true, the protocols are not of Jewish origin and have been made up by some anti-Semites. Well, to those smart ones I will show up two mistakes in their reasoning. 1. It is an absolute fact that the protocols are of Jewish origin. The proof of this can be found in one of the oldest books in the world, which has been sold many millions of times and cannot be taken away from the public anymore, the Jewish Talmud. To Semitism or anti-Semitism and the Jews have almost nothing in common. What is this guy talking about? Some people are thinking immediately. Again, don't just swallow what the, mostly Jewish, mass media is telling you. Get yourself some history books and the Encyclopedia Judaica and get your knowledge yourself through your own research. Here I will just give you some short phrases. Des Griffin had done tremendous research for his book Anti-Semitism and the Babylonian Connection. As a result of an unrelenting avalanche of Zionist propaganda, the vast majority of Germans as well as Americans have been misled into believing that the word Semite refers almost 60, exclusively to the people who today are known as Jews. In fact, few think could be further from the truth. Interestingly, the word Semite, Semitism and anti-Semitism do not even appear in the 1828 edition of Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. They were coined only toward the end of the last century. So, who are the Semites? The Semites are, according to the highly authoritative Oxford Universal Dictionary, 1944, p. 1838, the people belonging to the race of mankind, which includes most of the peoples mentioned in Genesis 10 as descended from Shem, son of Noah, as the Arabs, Hebrews, Assyrians, and Arameans, and speaking a Semitic language as their native tongue. Well, most people in the world would answer the question whether the modern Jew is of Hebrew or Semitic origin with a clear yes. False. This is simply not true. The Jews in modern society have nothing to do with the ancient Hebrews of biblical times. For decades we never thought of even questioning this basic assumption. Actually, it is an historical fact that some 95% of modern Jewry are not of Semitic stock. They are of Turkish stock, the so-called Khazars. The Khazars came not from Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus. Genetically, they are more related to the Hun, Ugar and Magyar than to the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The story of the Khazar Empire, as it slowly emerges from the past, begins to look like the most cruel hoax that history has ever perpetrated. Arthur Koestler, the 13th tribe. Let me give you some quick overview of the history of the Khazars. The Jews of our times fall into two main divisions, Sephardim and Ashkenazim. The Sephardim are the descendants of the Jews who since antiquity have lived in Spain Hebrew, shepherd, until they were expelled at the end of the 15th century. In the 1960s, the number of Sephardim was estimated at 500,000. The Ashkenazim or Khazar Jews at the same time numbered about 11 million. The 13th tribe, p.181. The Jewish Encyclopedia tells us about the Khazars, spelling varies. Khazars, a people of Turkish origin whose life and history are interwoven with the very beginning of the history of the Jews in Russia. Driven on by the nomadic tribes of the steppes and by their own desire for plunder and revenge. In the second half of the 6th century, the Khazars moved westwards. The kingdom of the Khazars was firmly established in most of southern Russia long before the foundation of the Russian monarchy by the Vangarians, 855 AD. At this time the kingdom of the Khazars stood at the height of its power and was constantly at war. At the end of the 8th century, the Shogun, king of the Khazars and his grandees, together with a large number of his heathen people, embraced the Jewish religion. Having the Christians to their left and the Muslims to their right, they were asked to join either one of those religions, but the Shogun out of protest chose the Jewish religion. The Jewish population of the entire domain of the Khazars, in the period between the 7th and 8th century, must have been substantial. About the 9th century it appears as if all the Khazars were Jews and that they had been converted to Judaism only a short time before. It was one of the successors of Bulan named Obadiah, who regenerated the kingdom and strengthened the Jewish religion. He invited Jewish scholars to settle in his dominion and founded synagogues and schools. The people were instructed in the Bible, Mishnah and the Talmud and the divine service of the Hazanim. In their writings the Chazars use the Hebrew letters. The Chazar language predominated. The Russian Varanians established themselves at Kiev. Until the final conquest of the Chazars by the Russians after a hard fight. 4 years later the Russians conquered all the Chazarian territory east of the Azov River. Many members of the Chazarian royal family from the Truth. Interestingly, the words Semite, Semitism and anti-Semitism do not even appear in the 1828 edition of Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. They were coined only toward the end of the last century. So, who are the Semites? The Semites are, according to the highly authoritative Oxford Universal Dictionary, 1944, p. 1838, the people belonging to the race of mankind which includes most of the peoples mentioned in Genesis 10 as descended from Shem, son of Noah, as the Arabs, Hebrews, Assyrians, and Arameans, and speaking a Semitic language as their native tongue. Well, most people in the world would answer the question whether the modern Jew is of Hebrew or Semitic origin with a clear yes. False. This is simply not true. The Jews in modern society have nothing to do with the ancient Hebrews of biblical times. For decades we never thought of even questioning this basic assumption. Actually, it is an historical fact that some 95% of modern Jewry are not of Semitic stock. They are of Turkish stock, the so-called Khazars. The Khazars came not from Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus. Genetically, they are more related to the Hun, Ugar and Magyar than to the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The story of the Khazar Empire, as it slowly emerges from the past, begins to look like the most cruel hoax that history has ever perpetrated. Arthur Koestler, the 13th tribe. Let me give you some quick overview of the history of the Khazars. The Jews of our times fall into two main divisions, Sephardim and Ashkenazim. The Sephardim are the descendants of the Jews who since antiquity have lived in Spain Hebrew, shepherd, until they were expelled at the end of the 15th century. In the 1960s, the number of Sephardim was estimated at 500,000. The Ashkenazim or Khazar Jews at the same time numbered about 11 million. The 13th tribe, p.181. The Jewish Encyclopedia tells us about the Khazars, spelling varies. Chazars, a people of Turkish origin whose life and history are interwoven with the very beginning of the history of the Jews in Russia. Driven on by the nomadic tribes of the steppes and by their own desire for plunder and revenge. In the second half of the 6th century the Chazars moved westwards. The kingdom of the Chazars was firmly established in most of southern Russia long before the foundation of the Russian monarchy by the Vangarians, 855 AD. At this time the kingdom of the Chazars stood at the height of its power and was constantly at war. At the end of the 8th century, the Shogun, king, of the Chazars and his grandees, together with a large number of his heathen people, embraced the Jewish religion. Having the Christians to their left and the Muslims to their right, they were asked to join either one of those religions, but the Shogun out of protest chose the Jewish religion. The Jewish population of the entire domain of the Chazars, in the period between the 7th and 8th century, must have been substantial. About the 9th century it appears as if all the Chazars were Jews and that they had been converted to Judaism only a short time before. It was one of the successors of Bulan named Obadiah, who regenerated the kingdom and strengthened the Jewish religion. He invited Jewish scholars to settle in his dominion and founded synagogues and schools. The people were instructed in the Bible, Mishnah and the Talmud and the divine service of the Hazanim. In their writings the Chazars use the Hebrew letters. The Chazar language predominated. The Russian Varanians established themselves at Kiev. Until the final conquest of the Chazars by the Russians after a hard fight. 4 years later the Russians conquered all the Chazarian territory east of the Azov River. Many members of the Chazarian royal family, 61, emigrated to Spain. Some went to Hungary, but the great mass of the people remained in their native country. Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 4, Article on Chazars, pages 1-5. After Obadiah came a long succession of shoguns, kings, for according to a fundamental law of the state only Jewish rulers were permitted to ascend to the throne. So we glean from strictly Jewish sources that the vast majority of present-day Jews cannot claim to be descendants of the original Hebrews, and possibly heirs to Palestine. Because of that fact, the term anti-Semitism does not refer to modern Jews. Benjamin Friedman, a Jew who was on a first-name basis with most of the top Zionists in the 30s and 40s, puts his finger firmly on the true purpose behind the use of the term anti-Semitism. He declares that it should be eliminated from the English language. Anti-Semitism serves only one purpose today: it is used as a smear word. When so-called Jews feel that anyone opposes any of their objectives, they discredit their victims by applying the word anti-Semite or anti-Semitic through all the channels they have at their command and under their control. Facts are facts. Benjamin Friedman, p.73. Also, what happened in the Third Reich is not necessarily related to anti-Semitism. It had to do with anti-Khazarism and anti-Talmudism, especially the Mosaic Law, which will be answered correctly by any SS member, if still alive. I will give you some direction through all these terms pretty soon. The most widely known and powerful Khazar family is the Rothschild family, who are named after the red shield that is the symbol of the Khazars. Does this make sense? It definitely will do so even more by the end of this book. Just keep in mind that, because the modern Jews are not of Hebrew origin, they never had and never will have a right for claiming the land of Palestine. The state of Israel is absolutely illegal, even if the Jews would have some Hebrew origin. But you will read more to this in the later chapters. To bring it down to the point, the race with the most anti-Semitic attitude is probably the modern Jew himself. Why? Because they hate and fight the Arabs, who really are of Semitic stock, whenever and wherever they can. Therefore the Arabs are anti-Khazar or anti-Jewish, and the Jews are the ones who are anti-Semitic. Think about it. Sometimes the truth is very uncomfortable. Their native country, Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 4, Article on Chazars, pages 1-5. After Obadiah came a long succession of shoguns, kings, for according to a fundamental law of the state only Jewish rulers were permitted to ascend to the throne. So we glean from strictly Jewish sources that the vast majority of present-day Jews cannot claim to be descendants of the original Hebrews, and possibly heirs to Palestine. Because of that fact, the term anti-Semitism does not refer to modern Jews. Benjamin Friedman, a Jew who was on a first-name basis with most of the top Zionists in the 30s and 40s, puts his finger firmly on the true purpose behind the use of the term anti-Semitism. He declares that it should be eliminated from the English language. Anti-Semitism serves only one purpose today: it is used as a smear word. When so-called Jews feel that anyone opposes any of their objectives, they discredit their victims by applying the word anti-Semite or anti-Semitic through all the channels they have at their command and under their control. Facts are facts. Benjamin Friedman, p.73. Also, what happened in the Third Reich is not necessarily related to anti-Semitism. It had to do with anti-Khazarism and anti-Talmudism, especially the Mosaic Law, which will be answered correctly by any SS member, if still alive. I will give you some direction through all these terms pretty soon. The most widely known and powerful Khazar family is the Rothschild family, who are named after the red shield that is the symbol of the Khazars. Does this make sense? It definitely will do so even more by the end of this book. Just keep in mind that, because the modern Jews are not of Hebrew origin, they never had and never will have a right for claiming the land of Palestine. The state of Israel is absolutely illegal, even if the Jews would have some Hebrew origin. But you will read more to this in the later chapters. To bring it down to the point, the race with the most anti-Semitic attitude is probably the modern Jew himself. Why? because they hate and fight the Arabs, who really are of Semitic stock, whenever and wherever they can. Therefore the Arabs are anti-Khazar or anti-Jewish, and the Jews are the ones who are anti-Semitic. Think about it. Sometimes the truth is very uncomfortable. I ask that you be generous with criticism of the English translation as presented here, because it is difficult to handle acceptable English grammar when coming from translations of other languages.